on the Colorado State Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, welcome back here on a Wednesday as we get set for another edition of the Colorado State Insider Podcast. Hi, everybody. Great to have you back with us. Brian Roth, your host. And we're going to be talking a ton of Colorado State basketball here on the program. Adam Nygaard, radio analyst across the Colorado State Sports Network. He's going to be my guest. And Adam and I, well, have about a good 20-25 minute discussion on where Colorado State Ram basketball is right now. Rams sitting at 10-11 on the season. They're 2-6 in conference play. And obviously coming off that loss to Wyoming on Saturday up in Laramie. Have the midweek bye here before going to Boise coming up on Saturday night, a 6 p.m. Mountain tip-off game. So we'll talk to Adam a little bit about the Wyoming game, what's been plaguing Colorado State here this season. We'll talk about Isaiah Stevens and his fantastic career, and then kind of look ahead. I mean, what can we expect in the final 10 games of the Mountain West Conference schedule, and how many teams are a possibility to go to the NCAA tournament? So all of that and more coming up with Adam Nygaard. But wanted to start on the women's side, and why not? They're having a great season. Ryan Williams is doing an excellent job here this season for the Colorado State women. They're sitting at 13-6 on the year. They're 6-2 in conference play and tied with San Diego State for a tie in second place in the Mountain West Conference. And man, they've had a pretty big stretch of games over the last 10, 11, 12 days. And last week beat Nevada last Thursday, 84-67. It was their fifth consecutive win. And it set up really, if you listen to the podcast last week, as we were describing it, just a monumental game against UNLV this past Saturday at Moby Arena. UNLV, the defending Mountain West Conference champs. And remember, UNLV defeated CSU in the women's championship game down in Vegas in the Mountain West Conference tournament last year. And so UNLV was the NCAA tournament team out of the Mountain West Conference. And but they brought just about everybody back, including Essence Booker and Desiree Young. And I mean, they were the favorite, and they were the overwhelming favorite going into the season to win yet another Mountain West Conference championship. The Rams were picked to be a contender, but UNLV is the team to beat. There's no question about that. And, of course, the Rams and the Lady Rebels hooked up back on December the 31st on New Year's Eve in Vegas, and UNLV would escape with a 91-88 overtime loss. So just a few weeks later, you get UNLV coming to your place. And really, you looked at this game as if it was a game that CSU would have to win if you want a chance at winning the women's regular season championship. But in the end, the Rams fall 63-58. And, you know, it's interesting. The first game was a high-scoring offensive game. Mentioned it was 91-88. Of course, it did go to overtime. But still, that's a high-scoring game. And then this game, this past Saturday, 63-58. UNLV gets the win. Colorado State didn't shoot the basketball particularly well. But the defense played very well for Colorado State. And it's interesting how one game was so much different from the other. Earlier this week on Monday night, of course, we have the Coors Light Colorado State Basketball Coaches Show. It's live at Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon in Old Town Fort Collins. We'll be there again coming up this next Monday night. But I asked Ryan Williams about the UNLV game and the fact that it was a very different game from the first high-scoring affair to the defensive battle here this past Saturday.
You knew both teams were going to make adjustments defensively. I don't think either coach liked how efficient, you know, the offense was, obviously, from your opponents the first time around. And so adjustments were going to be made. And so a totally different basketball game. The pace was totally different. You know, we were able to get to the basket, played a really fast clip, and get a lot of, you know, early good shots in Vegas. This time around, they came out and they just kind of zone pressed us a little bit, a little 2-2-1. They zoned us a lot, which took McKenna out of the play as far as just, you know, our downhill ball screen game. So actually, you know, a good plan by them. But you go back and we watched as a staff today, and you're like, golly, we're a good three-point shooting team. We really are. We're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country.
Right.
You know, well, how come we didn't shoot it very good? You know, we had a lot of good looks, yeah. A lot of good looks against that zone. You know, after the game, we probably gave it too much credit. You know, we had good looks, probably needed to attack it maybe with a little more patience, but totally different game, defensive kind of battle, which you saw two teams that just didn't want to lose out there, and obviously they came out on top.
All right, so there's Ryan Williams talking about the differences between the two contests. Again, UNLV gets the win. The Lady Rebels now 19-2 on the season. They're 9-0 in conference play. We mentioned the Rams are sitting 2.5 games back now at 6-2, and conference championship in the regular season, man, I don't know if it's in play anymore. Just based on how the UNLV women's basketball team is breezing through the women's side of the schedule. Again, they're 9-0 halfway through. I mean, is there a chance that they would lose three games, go 6-3 down the stretch in the Mountain West Conference? Probably not. And if that happened, Colorado State would have to go 10-0. To close out the Mountain West Conference. And, you know, could that happen? Sure. I mean, anything's in play, I guess, at this point. But UNLV on the women's side looks like they have a free and clear path to another regular season Mountain West Conference championship. So here's what we have coming up this week for the Colorado State women. They're going to be at New Mexico tomorrow night at 7 p.m. It's the second meeting between the Rams and the Lobos. CSU won the first meeting at Moby Arena back on January the 7th, 76-65. That was a game in which CSU got up to a 23-9 lead after the first quarter. And not that they, again, cruised the rest of the game, but really able to keep New Mexico at arm's length. And Colorado State got the 11-point win, trying to get the season sweep of a New Mexico team that's been at or near the top of the Mountain West Conference the last 4 years. The Lobos struggling a little bit this season, 11-9 overall, 3-4 in Mountain West Conference play. Then the Rams will travel to Air Force, so the old New Mexico Air Force road trip. Those used to be the road trips back in the day when you had BYU and Utah in the Mountain West Conference. And that'll be Saturday at 1 p.m. down at the Academy, and it's an Air Force team that's really pretty good. I mean, 10-10 of the season. They're a game back of the Rams in the Mountain West Conference standings at 5-3 this year, and it'll be the first of two meetings between the Rams and the Falcons. And again, that'll be Saturday at 1 p.m. down at the Air Force Academy. And again, that's an Air Force team that was pretty good last year. They swept CSU in the regular season last year, and Colorado State looking for a little revenge going into that game on Saturday. So the women again at New Mexico and Albuquerque tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and then at Air Force on Saturday at 1 p.m. All right, let's get to Colorado State men's basketball. And again, Adam Nygon, our radio analyst across the Colorado State Sports Network, going to join us here momentarily. Rams sitting at 10-11 on the season. They're 2-6 in conference play. And, yeah, they've lost 6 of 8 to open up Mountain West play. Of course, last Wednesday, Rams lose in overtime at home to San Diego State, 82-76. It was a third straight overtime game for Colorado State. And, you know, Rams look good for the most part. They led by 6 at halftime, pushed that lead to as many as 9 in the second and half. But you knew San Diego State would probably make a run. They did. Aztecs would eventually take a 6-point lead with a 1:39 to go. Rams looked like they were in a little bit of trouble, but a big three from John Tonjay. There was a big three from Jalen Lake, who had a career-high 17 points, and then Isaiah Stevens with the layup with 5 seconds to go to tie up the game at 65, and we would head into overtime. But, well, a familiar theme in the three straight overtime games for Colorado State, it let the opponent get out to an early lead. It happened against Air Force 2 weeks ago. Again, it happened in Vegas a week and a half ago this Saturday. And it happened again against San Diego State. Aztecs never trailed in overtime. San Diego State went 5 of 7 from the floor in OT, 3 of 3 from deep, and they hit big shots. And we'll talk about this with Adam Nygon in a moment. But remember, Air Force got the overtime win against CSU 2 weeks ago. They went 5 of 5 in overtime and 8 of 9 from the free throw line against the Rams. And, you know, hard to win overtime games when teams are shooting 65, 70, 75, in the Air Force case, 100% from the floor. So tough loss for the Rams last Wednesday night. Then you go up to Wyoming on Saturday to battle a Cowboy team that came in with an 8-game skid, but as we talked about in the podcast last week, I mean, look, that was going to be a dogfight no matter what the records were. And, yeah, you know, like, I know it's cliche, but I don't care if Wyoming had come into that contest at 0-16 on the season. That was going to be a hard game to win. But let's, you know, say it like it is. I mean, Colorado State came out and just didn't have it in the first half for whatever reason. Rams were down 35-21 at halftime. They shot 35%, several missed layups, and, you know, 12 turnovers in that first half as well. The Rams end up turning it over 18 times that afternoon. And Nico Medved joined us on the postgame show following that contest and, you know, talked a little bit about what exactly plagued Colorado State against the Cowboys, and in particular that first half.
I don't know what was going on in the first half. The turnovers, just sloppiness with the ball that I think has been uncharacteristic of our team this year. I thought we were really soft in the lane. I thought we got the ball taken from us several times and we had an advantage. We missed a lot of easy shots at the rim. Just layups are right there, and I wish I knew the reason why. I mean, obviously there were some contests, but I think those are plays that we have finished most of the year. And, you know, and when you combine that with, you know, allowing them to go 11 for 17 from two in the first half, we really didn't accomplish anything that we wanted to accomplish. We turned the ball over. We were, you know, turning the ball over. We were soft in the paint and we weren't guarding the paint. And, you know, in the second half, we calmed down a little bit. Our defense was really, really good. And even in that first stretch in the first half, it's kind of frustrating. I thought we had some shots, you know, right there at the rim that didn't go in, but our guys kept fighting, and finally we made a run. And but there's four games in a row now that have come right down to the wire. We've won one of them, and three of them got away, and that's disappointing.
So, again, there's head coach Nico Medved, and, yeah, CSU has had trouble pulling out close games down the stretch this year. We'll get to that in a moment. Obviously, want to mention Isaiah Stevens, who set the all-time assist record in a career at CSU, and past Ryan Yoder, who played for the Rams from 1990 to 1994. So congratulations to Isaiah Stevens, now 536 career assists. And again, we'll talk to Adam Nygon here in just a moment and get Adam's thoughts on, you know, Isaiah Stevens, his four-year career. It's been fun to have a front row seat to what he's been able to do over the last 4 years, and it's just been a stellar, stellar career. All right, well, let's look at the big picture for Colorado State. Rams sitting at 2-6 in Mountain West Conference games. You have 10 games to go in the regular season, then obviously on to the Mountain West Conference tournament. Rams at this point sitting at 10-11. If you want to go to the postseason, Colorado State's going to have to make a little bit of a run here in the final 10 games of the Mountain West Conference schedule. But you look at the 2-6 mark in conference play, all of those games except for two have been close games, down to the final minute type of games. The only two that weren't, of course, the loss at New Mexico to open up the conference slate back on December 28th. Rams lost by 19. And then the Fresno State win for CSU at Moby Arena, where the Rams beat the Bulldogs by 22. But the rest of the games have been close. San Jose State game, 78-70 loss at home. Rams led by 14 in the first half, led by one with 6 minutes to go, right? I mean, the loss at Nevada, Rams lose by 11, 80-69, but the Rams led by five with 6 minutes to go, right there in the game. Of course, the Air Force game went to overtime. UNLV game in Vegas went to overtime. San Diego State game went to overtime. The Wyoming game, obviously, the Rams lose by one on free throws in the final 3 seconds of the game, and you lose to the Cowboys 58-57. And the ability to win those close games, the ability to close out contests here this year has been tough, and the margin of error is small for Colorado State right now. And so I went back and took a look last year to this year, what was Colorado State's record and what is Colorado State's record in 50-50 games, and I just decided to make 50-50 games. My definition is a game that is within one possession, 5 minutes or less in a game. So at any time under the five-minute mark, if it's a one-possession game, I call that a 50-50 game for this purposes only. It's my own definition I decided to make looking back to this year and last year. But you look at this year, Rams actually won some close games in November and December. You know, the Gardner-Webb game, right? Season opener. Rams won at 65-63. Remember, it was Isaiah Rivera with the game-winning shot. The very next game, I think it was with Southeast Louisiana, Rams led by just 1 point with 5:30 to go. They closed out the game in a 14-4 run to win it by 11. And then, of course, the St. Mary's game in Moraga back on December the 18th. The best win of the season by far. It was the best win of the year. And CSU was able to close out that game. But the games they have not closed out, well, we mentioned the games in the Mountain West Conference. San Jose State, Nevada was a 50-50 game with under 5 minutes to go. The San Diego State game, obviously, in overtime. The Wyoming game. So CSU, their record this year in the 50-50 games, and again, those are the parameters that I set, game within one possession with under 5 minutes to go. Rams are 3-5 on the season. So you go back and you look at last year, and again, Colorado State won 25 games last year, one of the best seasons in program history. And of course, you had David Roddy, you have Isaiah Stevens, two all-conference players, but you have to win close games in a year if you're going to win 25 games. You have to. And the Rams had their fair share of blowouts throughout the course of the season because they were really good. They beat a lot of teams by double digits. But they also won a ton of those 50-50 games. In fact, the record last year in the 50-50 games, by my definition, was 13-2. So that means 15 of the 31 games were one-possession contests with 5 minutes to go. They beat Bradley in the Paradise Jam. They beat Northeastern in the Paradise Jam championship game after being down 20 in the second half. The win against Northern Colorado, the Rams had to pull out late last year. The game against Mississippi State down in Fort Worth last season, Rams had to pull it out. Then you look at the conference play. Colorado State was 9-2 in 50-50 games in Mountain West Conference play. They went 14-4. 9 of their 14 wins were the quote-unquote 50-50 games. Utah State at home, you win. New Mexico at home last year, you win. Nevada at home, San Diego State at home, all wins in 50-50 games. You won at Boise State last year in overtime. Won at Utah State. Beat Utah State to get in the Mountain West Conference tournament. So the Rams were 9-2 in those games. And the only two games last year that the Rams lost in those 50-50 situations, at Wyoming last season, remember that was in overtime, and then in the Mountain West Conference semifinals at the tournament down in Vegas, they lost to San Diego State. And that's impressive to go 13-2 in tight games with under 5 minutes to go. And it's been, you know, it was really one of the big reasons Colorado State was able to win 25 games. And this year, just haven't been able to do it. But the good news is you have 10 games left. The good news is, we'll talk to Adam Nygon here in just 1 second, is that the Rams are in these games, and they have the potential to be in these games, and they're going to be in a lot more of these tight games with under 5 minutes to go heading to the final 10 games of the Mountain West Conference. So you're going to have many more opportunities to try to stack some wins together here, and hopefully Colorado State is able to do it. All right, well, let's wrap up the podcast here and bring in my broadcast partner, Adam Nygon, now in his seventh season as the radio analyst across the Colorado State Sports Network. And I wanted to get Adam here basically at the midway point of the Mountain West Conference slate. I know we're a bit shy of that, but wanted to get Adam's thought on the season and what lays ahead for CSU in the Mountain West Conference, and also talk a little bit about Isaiah Stevens. All right, here he is, the one, the only. There's Adam Nygon. All right, Adam, good to have you on the podcast here. Just about to the midway point to the Mountain West Conference season. Rams have played 8 games of conference play, sitting at 2-6, but still 10 more to go. And I want to do a little midseason review, but first things first, let's look back to the Wyoming game on Saturday. Rams go up to the AA, lose 58-57. And I mean, you look at that game, it's a tale of two halves. Colorado State down by 14 at halftime. They have the big 15-0 run of the second half, obviously not able to pull off the victory. But what in the world happened to Colorado State in the first half of that game on Saturday?
And the tough part was is defensively, it just nothing happened for us. We would get stops and then we wouldn't, but then it turned into just us looking at the refs. It seemed like offensively we got bad calls early, and it forced us every time we got fouled just to look at the ref instead of sprinting back, getting back. And it, you know, when you really come down to that game, it doesn't matter how bad we played on either end of the floor. It was the 8 wide open layups we missed. I mean, everyone missed them. So it wasn't just one guy had a bad night. I mean, the ones particular that really just in the second half when Lake does that such a nice in and out, smooth right through the lane to the left. I'm all but, you know, running back to the other end with everybody. And he just whiffs a left-handed layup. And it was just like, those types of plays all day just seemed to like play into everybody else as it just went through one through, you know, seven on the bench. And man, it just looked like a team that had slept in Laramie and woke up and just couldn't quite get that funk until that second half. Cause you know, the 12 first half turnovers were another thing that just killed us.
Listen, you talk about the missed layups, and there are a bunch of them. I mean, 8, 9, 10 missed layups in that game. You mentioned the Lake missed layup, and boy, it's such a great move inside the paint. And if he can certainly add that to his game, it's going to open up a lot of things for him. But you talk about the turnovers too, and really it's the last two games. Now, San Diego State, you have 9 second half turnovers for 16 points. And while that's certainly something you don't want to be doing on a regular basis, it's a little more understandable because San Diego State is such a good on the ball defensive team and just really an elite overall defensive team. But the 18 turnovers against Wyoming, who is not a very good defensive team, and 12 in the first half, and it's kind of scratching your head. What in the world is going on? Because CSU, for the most part, Adam, has been very good at taking care of the basketball this season.
No, they're one of the best in the country, top 20 taking care of the basketball still, even with these, you know, tough stretches of games they had. And it's just, you let a bad team get some confidence early by doing that. And in particular, it was just, it's again, it's these small little stretches of basketball that are you know, a good team like us, we can't take those small stretches. A great team, they can handle a few bad stretches, but a good team like us, we don't, our margin of error is a lot slimmer this year than last. And it just, it starts to show you that you need to bring it for 40 minutes every single game, because it's, you know, you look second half of that Wyoming game, we hold them scoreless for 7 minutes. And then all of a sudden, you know, we go the last 2 minutes without scoring. And that was the difference. We lose by one, tough call. Yeah. Yeah. But that's the difference, are these small stretches. San Diego State, same thing, 4 turnovers in about 4 minutes in the start of the second half. I mean, that single-handedly let San Diego State come back into the game. But then going back to the Wyoming point, is that team started to gain some confidence and steam with those turnovers. So it's not just turning the ball over. It's the momentum that you create for the other team when you do it that really is just piled on too strong for the Rams, in particular the last couple.
Yeah, again, the Rams were able to come from a 16-point deficit on Saturday. They come storming back. Rams held the lead. And you look at them defensively, they've been better the last three games, haven't they, Adam? I mean, what was it, 2 weeks ago, you go back and look at the Air Force game and remember Nico Medved coming on our postgame show, and that's all he wanted to talk about. I mean, just like how bad they were defensively, how they had been declining defensively. They seemingly have gotten the message and have been playing better defensively. I thought they were better against UNLV. Obviously, EJ Harkless was really good in that game, and it wasn't because of the Ram defense. It was because he was making great shots, but thought they were a lot better against San Diego State, holding the Aztecs to 65 points in regulation. And then against Wyoming, and particularly the second half, it's one of their better defensive games of the season.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, you're right. Coach Medved came on and set the tone of what the next couple weeks was going to look like for the guys, and it made a difference. They came shot out of a cannon on the road against UNLV. San Diego State, you know, probably like Coach Medved said, I don't know if they could have played better or harder that game. It just so happened to fall one way or the other. And, you know, then Wyoming, they have to put the clamps down in that second half, allowing only 23 points on a, you know, sub 30% from the field. And it's just, here's the difference, is the small little errors that we talked about on the air a little bit. At the San Diego State game, Matt Bradley seemingly gets to his left the entire, you know, end of 2 minutes and 5 minutes of overtime, 5 straight times, left-hand layup. Then same thing at the other night against Wyoming, we see it. We see Reynolds is going to get this shot, but he loves getting to that left and going strong to the rim. And so letting him get to that left, letting those guys do these little things and put one possession ball games, I mean, that's, again, the difference between winning and losing in tight areas is knowing the scout and knowing what the other guy likes to do best, and, you know, just not letting them get to that spot, making it a little harder down the stretch. And it's just not working out in the way of the Rams.
Yeah. You look at what happened in the final couple minutes of the game, and I want to talk about it in more detail here in just a little bit of why CSU seemingly can't close out close games here this season. They played a lot of them over the last couple of weeks, but you know, you knew that Reynolds or Maldonado was going to get the basketball. They had the ball with 20 seconds to go and knew they're looking for the last shot. And you knew, at least you thought, that they were going to try to get something going at the rim. And that's exactly what Reynolds wanted to do. You mentioned he wants to get to the left. Rams were able to let him get to the left. And then, you know, was it a foul at the end of the game? Certainly it was a soft foul in my mind. Would it be a foul that I would say it was completely egregious? Probably not. I mean, does it get called in the course of a game? Yeah. I didn't think there was a lot there. I think it was more of a reaction call from the official. But at the end of the day, Reynolds, give him credit because he forced the official into making a decision there.
Oh, absolutely. It's kind of, as a coach, your dream scenario. You don't like guys pulling up and just dying by a tough contested shot. You want to get into the rim, get into the teeth, just like Reynolds did, and jumped right into the body of Lake, who, as good as anybody, tries to stay straight up. But I mean, imagine as a player, somebody coming into your chest as hard as that too. It's not like your arms naturally just stay straight, right? So right. Like there's a little give. It's just, that's such a bang, bang call. It could have been called. It couldn't have not been called. And it's just, again, the Rams probably shouldn't have been in a situation like that over the course of 40 minutes. But, you know, again, we're not that team that we are from last season. You know, we are obviously missing a top 25 NBA draft pick, and we look like it a little bit. You force Stevens into forcing a lot more shots. You see it in some of the shot taking he's had to take. And then you see some of these other guys that just, you know, they probably were streaky scorers, you know, last year. We just didn't realize it because we had Roddy and some other pieces. So, you know, Tanjay and Rivera, you just, you know, the ebbs and flow of them throughout the season. It's just been one of those things where can't really get all, you know, seven or eight guys on one page in one complete game just quite yet.
CSU obviously wasn't going to be the same team after losing a first round draft pick. Then there's not a lot of teams in the Mountain West Conference that can sustain that. Maybe San Diego State could consistently sustain losses like that. But, you know, you knew there was going to be a little bit of a step back here this season, but the margin of error is so thin with this team. And it is for a lot of teams in the Mountain West Conference. I mean, San Diego State has a larger margin of error. I think New Mexico has a little bit larger margin of error, but it's going to come down to so many of these 50-50 games. And I was talking earlier on the podcast, Adam, about 50-50 games from last year to this year. And when I describe a 50-50 game, it's basically a one possession game at 5 minutes and under, right? If it's ever a one possession game with 5 minutes or under to go in a contest, I call it the 50-50 game. And last year, Colorado State in 50-50 games was 13-2. And they went 9-2 in Mountain West Conference games, 50-50 games, on their way to a 14-4 record. This year it's 3-5 in 50-50 games. And obviously you look at the six conference losses for CSU. Only one of them was a blowout, right? It was the conference opener against the New Mexico Lobos, where they got smoked down at the pit. Other than that, have all been winnable games. What has been the issue, do you think, for CSU? And again, we know David Roddy's not around anymore, which is a big issue, right? But yes. How come CSU can't close out some of these games that they closed out last year?
It's tough to put your finger on it, but again, I looked over even the, you know, the eight conference and even adding in against USC, which is a bit of an anomaly, but six of the last nine games, we've given up 50% field goal shooting. So that right there is something you can cut back dramatically, is just allowing teams not to score at will so easily inside and outside from three. But then let's look at some of the losses too. I mean, you talk about the New Mexico game, a conference opener in the pit when a team's, you know, just cracking the top 25. I mean, I wasn't there firsthand, but I can imagine the atmosphere was rather pleasant to play at. San Jose State is not the San Jose State from your last 25, 30, 40 years or however long, because they have shown that they can compete with as good as anybody in the league right now. I hate to fanboy Tim Miles and what he's doing so much, but gosh, you can't help but look at that and say, yeah, it's, you know, San Jose State, but that's not a bad loss considering how good they're playing. Nevada on the road, we were up five with, you know, what, five to go. So, you know, on the road up five, you had a shot. Fresno State, easy. Air Force, they are good. You look at their young core, that Petritis, and then Corbin Green is really impressed me as athletic as he is rolling to the basket. And, you know, then Beckner goes off and McGreery. So they have all these young pieces that it's just one through 15. They really are gelling as well as anybody. And they're as young as anybody. And, San Diego State, we're right there. We're right there with the best team in the conference, and we proved it. So that to me is something that you can play into as we get closer here. And, you know, Wyoming, again, a bad first half, but defensively we were there in the second and had a chance. So, you know, biggest thing for me coming up here is just, we've got to prove that we can play with anybody and we're not scared of anyone come turning time. It's as simple as that. We can't be scared to go in there and play anybody, because let's face it, we're going to need a 4 or 5 game stretch here to have any chance at, you know, going beyond the Mountain West tournament.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got to get over 500 if you're going to make any kind of postseason tournament. And, exactly. You know, to go back to what you said a moment ago, you know, looking at shooting percentages, and the Rams have given up a number of games where the opponent has shot over 50%. And I think that's right there near the top of how you lose close games. Can you get defensive stops down the stretch of basketball games? And I mean, you look at Saturday, Adam, Rams led by 3 with 2.5 minutes to go, 57-54, but they didn't score again in the final 2:33. And again, they weren't able to get the key stops that Wyoming got. Wyoming got the key stops in the final 2.5 minutes of the game on Saturday, and they held the Rams scoreless to close out the game. And really, you look back to the overtime games too. And there's, I know the Rams pulled it out against UNLV and needed obviously the desperation 3 from Stevens, and then needed some more Isaiah Stevens magic in overtime. But the overtime sessions against Air Force, Falcons went 5 of 5 from the field in overtime. They went 8 of 9 from the free throw line. Rams didn't get any stops in overtime. And you look at the overtime against San Diego State, Aztecs went 5 of 7 from the floor in overtime and knocked down 3 threes. You didn't get the stops that you needed to get. And, you know, those are stops that the Rams got last year. David Roddy's been pretty good defensively in the NBA, and he was a good defender for us last year. You lose a kid like Chandler Jacobs, who is a pretty good defender. In fact, a real good perimeter defender for Colorado State. And I think, you know, right near the top of the list is getting stops at crucial moments. And it's kind of been the downfall for Colorado State, and on their way to a, you know, where they sit right now as we record the podcast, 10 and 11 on the season.
Yeah, that's the difference. It's playing defense is okay for 36 minutes, but for 40, if you don't play it for 40, you get beat. And that's just the reality of our situation right now. And I mean, it's tough to watch this team, because, you know, they have the fight in them. It's just that 40 minutes of consistent, you know, consistent tough net type basketball where, you know, you saw it in the second half of some of these games where how many deflections did we get once we start, you know, turning up the ball defensively and start really heating up guys as they're driving and doing that. It's deflections, loose balls, diving to the floor, taking charges. Those were the plays that absolutely, you know, catapulted us offensively on the other end against Wyoming in that second half. So it's just finding, you know, some of those plays that, you know, Joe Palmer seems to make all of them, if not, you know, 70% of those plays are all Joe Palmer. So I want some of these other guys to step up, start taking some charges, start getting some deflections, some rug burns, and just making it hard to play us for 40 consistent minutes. And that'll be the tough part here as we get into March, is can you build that monster as we need that 4 or 5 game stretch in a row?
Yeah, I think it's extra frustrating for Ram fans considering the type of season that CSU was coming off of last year. And I just mentioned the numbers, you know, I mean, in conference play, you go 9-2 and in 50-50 games coming down the stretch, and to not be able to see some of that stuff come to fruition is frustrating for Ram fans. But again, we expected a little bit of a step back here this season. And unfortunately for Colorado State, haven't been able to close out games. The good news, though, is they've been in most of the games this year. Exactly. And again, the only time they weren't in a basketball game in conference play, up to, you know, again, we're 8 games in, you're 2-6. It doesn't look pretty, but outside of the game at New Mexico, those have all been winnable conference games. I mean, you could conceivably say that CSU could be 7-1. Anybody can play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game. Right. But, you know, the fact of the matter is Colorado State could easily be 5-3. In conference play right now instead of 2-6. But at the end of the day, you are who you are, and Colorado State sits at 2-6. But yeah, I still like this team. You got the best point guard in the Mountain West Conference in Isaiah Stevens. Cartier has continued to come along, and the Rams are continuing to find ways to get him the basketball in the low post, and maybe a little more consistency out of Isaiah Rivera, who I think is a really, really good player. He's kind of been up and down this year. Jalen Lake seems to be getting better. John Tanjay, I mean, he seems to be giving you a consistent 12, 13, 14 points per contest. And it's a team that I still think that can do some damage in the Mountain West Conference. One more note from Saturday, Adam. Isaiah Stevens breaks the all-time assist record held by Ryan Yoder. Ryan was here from 1990 to 1994, and Isaiah only needed two on Saturday, and he got him within the first 2-3 minutes of the game. But, man, what can you say about the career that Isaiah Stevens has had? I mean, you've been there along with me sitting courtside the last 4 years, and we've had the pleasure to get that up-close and personal viewing of the great career that Isaiah Stevens has crafted here at CSU.
It's been an honor to watch him work, especially I've been blessed to see, you know, two of the top point guards in CSU history. You know, they're on that tier between him and Dorian Green. So, you know, I knew seeing Stevens walk in as a freshman, that he was that dude. I mean, you just saw, even in those first 4 or 5 games, he was shooting like 50% from the field, 50% from three, 90 from free throw. He hadn't really turned the ball over. And at that point, we had gone to like on the road at Duke and played some crazy games where you're just like, man. And then you saw Roddy with him. So it was just him continuing to feed Roddy and build and watching them grow. It was crazy. I mean, he's just such in control player and so confident in himself and his game that, you know, it's been the same all 4 years. He hasn't really, you know, there wasn't an area where I'm like, okay, Isaiah's got to get better at this year. You know, it wasn't ever that. It's just like, okay, now Isaiah's going to have to work better with this player and not this player. It was okay. You know, how can we use him better? Because his numbers have been so solid. I mean, look at what his career numbers are, 46% from the field. You know, you round him up, he shoots 40% from the field from three. He's 86% free throw shooter. And that assist number is just ridiculous. I mean, as a freshman, 144 assists. I mean, just his freshman year. So it's, I can't say enough good things. I probably, you know, some people are, you know, letting me hear it that I say too many good things sometimes and not enough. But how can you not say good things about Isaiah Stevens and just the demeanor and passion that he brings, not only on the floor, but to the whole program in general.
Right. I mean, he's really about as classy as it gets, and very intelligent, bright young man. And, you know, you just have to listen to the interviews that he does, whether it be with the newspaper writers or whether it's with us or wherever. I mean, he's very thoughtful and just a great ambassador to Colorado State Ram Athletics and this Ram basketball program. It could be so much fun to watch him the rest of the year. And again, mention it on the broadcast on Saturday. I'll mention it again. He could come back for another year. I have no idea what Isaiah wants to do moving into the future. He definitely can make money playing basketball. Well, there's no question about that, but enjoy the next 2 months, Ram fans, with Isaiah Stevens. May see him again next year. I would love to see him again next year in a Ram uniform, but enjoy at least the time that you know you will have with Isaiah Stevens in the next 2 months, because he has just been an absolute joy to watch. And again, mentioned earlier in the podcast, now fourth all time in career scoring at Colorado State. All right, let's take a look at the Mountain West Conference, and not quite to the halfway point of conference play, but man, it has been really entertaining to watch. And I want to get some of your thoughts. San Diego State at the top of the conference, 6-1. Then you have Nevada, Utah State, Boise State, all with the two losses. Then New Mexico sitting at 5-3, but 18-3 overall. The Lobos were back into the top 25 yesterday and will be this week. Probably dropped out after their double overtime loss at Nevada last night. But it's been a fun conference season to watch. And unfortunately, the Rams aren't in the NCAA conversation this season. But hey, as of right now, you could conceivably get 5 teams into the NCAA tournament. I think 4 is probably more realistic, but you certainly could get 5 teams in the NCAA tournament if the rest of the schedule shakes out with, again, New Mexico, Boise, Utah State, Nevada, and San Diego State beating each other and then beating the rest of the league. Nobody suffers any of those, you know, quote-unquote bottom-tier losses.
Yeah, that's just it. These guys, I mean, they just are going to continue to beat up on each other. That New Mexico Nevada game was a heavy weight battle last night. Nobody wants to play at Logan, Utah. Utah State team snuck one out against San Jose State. It seems like it's these five juggernauts against, you know, three of these middle tier teams and then the bottom three teams. So it's just one of these things. But the league from top to bottom is as good as it's been in a very long time, because you got a UNLV team who was, what were they, 11-1 going into conference, I believe. And now they're, you know, at the bottom of the league at 1-6. And of course, Wyoming was picked second in the league. They're just dealing with a lot of injuries. But again, a team that's so well coached in Jeff Linder, that it's a matchup nightmare just from the X and O scenario. So it's just, you know, talking to some of the coaches and all the head scratchers, it's like, you know, you try and look at that schedule and catch a breath of fresh air, but it really isn't. There isn't one, because you can't go to on the road at San Jose State and have an off night win, or, you know, go to UNLV and somehow expect to win on the road. They're just not there. Air Force? No, you don't want to go to the academy and play those guys right now, I promise you. So, you know, CSU is going to have to find a way themselves to go down there and beat a couple of those games, because certainly looking down at our schedule, you know, those remaining, you know, eight games, we might be favored in two of them. So, I mean, just looking at that, it's, you know, what are we going to do? Where are we going to find a way here to fight and scrap and sneak a couple extra wins that maybe we aren't supposed to win, gain some momentum and be feeling really good come March? You know, I hope that's what we have installed for us. And I hope that's what those guys can see too, because that's all it's really going to take, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to be favored at home against Wyoming for the return matchup. And the Cowboys, maybe at Fresno State. San Jose State Air Force, you still got to go there. I don't know if you're going to be favored, and you're right. But in the Mountain West, they have five teams in the top 34 of the net rankings, six teams in the top 100. Everybody's under 200. Wyoming at 198, Fresno State at 182. So I'm with that. I mean, top to bottom, you don't have Air Force in the 300s. You don't have San Jose State in the 300s, where it's just guaranteed quad four wins. But how about the job that Tim Miles has done there at San Jose State? Man, you know, the Rams gave up a foul in a tie game in the closing seconds of their game on Saturday up in Laramie. Well, San Jose State had the same thing happen to them Saturday night in Logan against a really good Utah State team.
Yeah, me and Coach Miles had a little bit of a venting session through a text chain that we both just were kind of venting about how in the world do we – we both in the same night, in the same, you know, matter of 4 seconds, just lose a tough game on the road. But, you know, Tim proves that he can crawl out from any under rock with any program under that same said rock and just win and win with anybody. And it's so crazy, because I'll be honest, I hated him going to San Jose State. I had seen the facilities, I'd seen their program. I knew that it was very bare bones, and I wasn't very excited for a guy like him to go in there, even though I should have known better, because that's all he does is he just churns them up. He blends up, you know, struggling programs and sparkles them up. And now, gosh, if we can get him 4 or 5 more wins here down the stretch, he's thinking about the postseason. I mean, think about that a second. San Jose State is thinking about the postseason. So Tim Miles, everybody at Ram Nation knows who he is and what he can do. We left him and he left us in good graces. And it's exciting to see the only guy who ever really gave a chance, you know, on me to get it going again in a tough underdog environment like San Jose State. So really easy guy to root for, especially when he's doing good.
Yeah, against San Jose State, went 8-23 last year, 1-17 in Mountain West Conference play. They're 12-8 this year, 3-4 in Mountain West Conference play, and again, nearly one in Logan on Saturday. San Jose State and the Rams will play in Northern California, the second to last regular season game of the year. All right, Adam, we'll let you run. And hey, Boise State coming up on Saturday in Fort Collins. And I've seen Boise a little bit. I know you have too. I mean, that's going to be a really, really tough game. Then you get UNLV coming home. Then you get Utah State. I mean, then you have to go to Air Force. And hey, I mean, the wins are going to be tough to come by, but you've got to be able to pull out some of these close games.
Yeah, we're not looking for sympathy either. You know, we know what's in front of us. And the good thing is the things that we are bad at right now are easily correctable things. It's not like we can't run offense and get looks. It's that we just can't seem to find the fight and determination to win some of these games. So that's just something that comes with, you know, the territory of grinding out a few tough practices and going back to the drawing board defensively. And you're starting to see it here these last couple of weeks. So I just hope they continue to build on something defensively. And again, prove to some of these biggest teams that we got coming up here that you don't want to see us here towards the end of the tournament. I promise you.
All right, man. Well, we will see you in Boise coming up on Friday. And yeah, hopefully the Rams can get back on the winning track. Remember, they won there in overtime last year on Super Bowl Sunday. Thanks, Adam. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Brian.
All right, there he goes, Adam Nygaard, radio analyst here on the Colorado State Sports Network. That's going to do it for the broadcast. Appreciate Adam hopping on. Coming up next week, we'll try to track down Joe Parker, director of athletics at Colorado State, and get our monthly chat with Joe. All right, time to say so long. As always, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week right here to the Colorado State Insider Podcast. Brian Roth saying so long. We'll talk to you on Saturday night when the Rams travel to Boise.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Colorado State Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig. Inspiring kid confidence.